We talk about the word of the Lord, maybe sometimes people don't realize how important the Bible really is. One of the reasons that we ought to think it's important, and I'm sure all of you do, but one of the reasons we ought to think it's important is because it contains the mind of God. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing in 1 Corinthians 2, said, we have the mind of Christ. So he's talking about this is the mind of God. This is the mind of Christ. The Old Testament mind of God in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ was a part of that too. But the New Testament, which we live under today, we live under the law of Christ today. And all of it's involved, what God wanted, what Christ wanted, what he wants people to do, what we can do to save ourselves, is found in the Word of God. So it's very important when we think about the Bible. It's not something just to put on a table somewhere and write some names in it about progeny. But it's a very important book. The statements made in the Word of God are Scripture. They're the Scripture that God has given. In fact, every Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Paul told Timothy, or God-breathed. And so when we look at the importance of the Bible, we look at the fact that God breathed this. He's the one that made the world and all things there, and in Him I live and move and have my very being. So I think about how important the Word of God is. When David was writing about the Word of God, among many things that he said, the Word of God is light. The Word is light, and it gives us understanding. Thy Word is a light unto my soul, he said on one occasion. Well, that's true. It's a light. It gives us understanding. We have understanding of life itself, and the reason we're here, and why we serve the Lord, and where we're about to go. All of that is found in the Word of God. That's the importance of it. But Jesus emphasized that importance. He said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath word, one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. So that's why the Word is so important, that we understand the Word, that we delve into the mind of God, into the Word of God, what we call the New Testament or the Bible. Because we're going to be judged by that in the last day. But when we think about the Word of God, we think about several things, several characteristics about the Word of God. For instance, the Word of God is right. It's right. Some things are not right. Some things are wrong. Sometimes people speak words and we know they're not right. Or maybe they think they're right, and over a period of time they learn it's not right. We talked about that a little bit in the class this morning. We talked about Saul, who later on became the Apostle Paul. He verily thought within himself he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He was before a blasphemer, persecutor, and injurious when he did those things. Well, he was wrong about those things. But he thought that's what he ought to do. He thought he ought to be doing the things he was doing, persecuting those who were Christians. But he was wrong about that. He was wrong about that because he didn't know really the right way of God at that time. He didn't know the Word of God right at that time. When one looks into the Word of God, he can find out this is the right way to live. The psalmist extolled that idea in Psalm 33, verses 3 and 4, when he said, praise the Lord, for the Word of the Lord is right. Praise the Lord means, praise means to give glory to. So give glory to the Lord because everything He says is right. You know, it is a wonderful blessing. But not only it gives us serenity of mind to know that when God speaks, we can put our faith in what He speaks because it's always going to be right. It's never wrong. The Word of God is always right. Have you ever wondered if what you believe and teach or practice is right? What if it's according to the Word of God? It's always right. That's the point. The Word of God is right. He doesn't tell us something that's wrong. He doesn't ask us something that's wrong. Think about what Jesus said when he told his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's right. That's what the Word of God said. What God is saying through his Son there, you want to go to heaven when you die? Believe and be baptized, and your sins will be washed away. That's right. That's what the Bible said. When Peter said the same thing on the day of Pentecost, basically, he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And people realized that as Peter spoke, as the Holy Spirit gave him utterance, that he's speaking the right words of God. And they gladly received his word, and they were baptized, and the Lord added them to the saved. If what we believe or teach or practice is right in our own eyes or in the eyes of other men, it may not be right. And we may be like the Apostle Paul, find out we were wrong. He said, "Howbeit, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I was doing these things. I thought it was right. I lived in all good conscience doing them. But I found out it was wrong, so I've changed the way I think. I'm going to do that which is right. If what we do is not according to the word of the Lord, then it's not right." So how important is this? Well, because it contains what's right. We want to do what's right. You know, when you're engaging in the physical sphere and you're engaging in a project and you want to finish the project and have it completed like it ought to be, you want to do everything about it that's right. And sometimes people make a mistake, or maybe they put the wrong digit somewhere, or they use the wrong test tube or whatever, and it's not right. And they find out to their sorrow sometimes that the consequence of that is that something was done, something was produced that shouldn't have been produced. Men make mistakes from time to time, even when they think they're doing right. Several years ago, there was an ice cream plant, company really, all their plants. They had to close down for a long period of time because something was done that was not right. And they found that some of their ice cream was polluted, and so they had to close down for a period of time. You know what ice cream company I'm talking about. And it took them a year or so to get back online. They had to clean everything. Well, it wasn't because the people wanted to do what was wrong, but they were doing wrong. And it wasn't right. So it behooves an individual, when we think about the spiritual realm or our soul, that we always think about what's right. How do we know what's right? Thy word is right. The open thy word gives righteousness. It gives light. It gives light to the simple. The opening of thy word gives light to the simple. It gives us the light, the way that we ought to walk, the way that we can go. Not only is the word of God always right, but it's always good too. Have you ever asked the question, is this good? Should I do this? I wonder if this is good for me. Maybe some drink that you're about to drink. I wonder if this is good for me. Or the doctor wants to give you medicine. You say, look, should I take this? Is this really good for me? And sometimes the doctor will give you something, think it's going to work, and you have a reaction to it, and it was not good. And he didn't intend for you to have a reaction to it. He didn't intend for you to get sick over. And as soon as they find out, well, they take that away, don't they? Because it wasn't good. But you don't have to concern yourself about the Word of God, whether it's always going to be good. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, it's good. Always good. The Word of the Lord is good. Hezekiah said on one time, he was speaking to Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 39, verse 8. He said, good is the Word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. What Isaiah told him, he didn't say, well, Isaiah, that's just your thought. I'm not sure that's good. But he said, it's good what you've spoken because it is the word of the Lord. And that's the way we need to look at the New Testament. It's just the opposite of this concept people have sometimes when they say, I know the Bible says this, but. And then they've got some other thought out there. And their other thought is, this is better than what the Bible says. But what I say is good, it's not so good. But the fact is, the Bible is always good. The Word of the Lord is always good. This is good. There are many things that the Bible talks about life and how to live. But it's always good to do that. We talked about that a little bit also in the class this morning. I used the passage that when Paul was writing to Timothy and said, exercise yourself unto godliness. Why? Why is that good? For godliness is profitable for all things. That's good. Having the promise of the life which now is and of that which is to come. That's good, folks. That's why he told Timothy, exercise yourself to godliness. You do those kind of exercises, it's good for you, is what he's saying. Sometimes you'll go to the doctor and he'll tell you, you know, you maybe you ought not drink so much coffee. Drink coffee so much all the time, and maybe you ought to drink a little bit more water. We found that people need to drink water. My doctor told me I need to drink 2 liters of water a day. I said, well, I'm drinking that much coffee. He said, no, I'm not talking about coffee. I'm talking about water. You need to drink water. So I quit drinking so much coffee. And Starbucks is about to go out of business because of that, but be that as it may. You drink a lot of water. That's what he said, and that's what I'm trying to do. Well, why do you drink water? Because it's good for your body. Your body can assimilate that and use that. It's good for you. Well, that's the way the Word of the Lord is. The Word of the Lord is good. But sometimes people do just the opposite. Sometimes people have it backwards as to what is good, and they call evil good and good evil. And Isaiah talked about that in Isaiah 5:20. We see that from time to time. They talk about, well, this is good because this is what I want to do. That old expression, if it feels good, do it. You see, if I think it's good, it must be good. But that's not necessarily so. If I think drinking coffee, several cups of coffee every day, is good for me, it might not necessarily be so. I might should have been drinking something else. And the children of Israel were calling evil good and good evil. So the good thing they should have been doing, they called it evil. The bad thing, the wrong thing, they engaged in those things. Well, the Word of God is good. It's never going to be evil. So if we rest ourselves, our spiritual acumen, if we rest that in the Word of God, it's always going to be good. So we could say, well, if we see something in harmony with the Word of the Lord, we can show that that something is always good, if it's in harmony. We are created for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. We're created to do good things, good works. That's what the Word of the Lord says. So the Word of the Lord is good, and it tells us what is good, good works. Jesus said, we work the works of God. That's what he said, and that's what we ought to do. We're created for good works, so the Word of the Lord tells us what good works are, and we engage in those good works. And one of the reasons that we engage so much is in the Word of the Lord is because it is always pure. It is true, it's right, it's good, but it's pure. We think about something being pure and being holy. If you're drinking a bottle of water and you're going to go fill it up somewhere, you want to be sure that the water you're going to use is pure. It's not full of all kinds of bacteria that's going to harm you. So you want to fill it up someplace that you know that that stream or that water, wherever it is, that fountain, whatever it is, that you want to be sure it's pure. I'm not going to drink out of something that's not. Generally, we don't drink out of the river, do we? We don't go down and start lapping water out of the river like a dog does. And the reason we don't is because we know that all kinds of things have been in there. We have no idea whether it's pure water or not. And people that do that sometimes get seriously ill. They do. Because the water is not pure. It has not been clean. But we'll drink water out of the river later on because it goes through the plant and it's cleaned and all that. We know it's pure. So we're not afraid to drink that kind of water as long as it's been purified. I know some of the bottles of water you buy today, it says purified water. That means they put it through a screening of some kind. And it's purified water. That's what it is. Well, a thing is either pure or impure. There's no in between. It's either pure or impure. There's no such thing as a partly pure or partly impure something. Especially when you think about the Word of God. And if we've got a bottle of water and it said on this is partly pure, would you drink it? Of course you wouldn't drink it. Or it's partly impure, but I want you to know you can drink it anyway. No. We look on the back of a bottle of or a carton of milk sometimes and we see that the milk has a date that it's going to expire. And generally milk today, it doesn't last very long, does it? It's going to last for a period of time and then you open it up someday out of the refrigerator. Ooh, that doesn't smell good. What do you do with it? Well, I'm going to drink it anyway. You don't do that. What do you do with it? You throw it away. Something's happened. It's impure. It smells bad. It's not good. That's what you do. And oftentimes when we taste something, say, this doesn't taste good. Let's throw this out. This doesn't taste good. It's impure. Something's happened to it. The bacteria's worked wrong. It's not good. But the Word of God, you can always depend on. It's always pure. Always. For instance, look at the idea of marriage in the Bible. Marriage is honorable in the sight of all, the apostle said in Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 4. If one's marriage is in compliance with the Word of God, then his marriage is pure. For every word of God is pure, Proverbs 30 and verse 5. So we can look at our marriage if we're following the Word of God. It's pure. It's not impure. We know how to live because the Word of God says that. Because every word of God is pure. The word pure generally means holy. That's generally what it means. If it's determined that our marriage is not according to the word of the Lord, then regardless of what men may think about it, what they may say about it, the marriage is not pure. But if we're doing what the Lord says and following the actions of the Lord, then we know it's pure. That's how we know whether or not our marriage is the kind it ought to be. We follow the teaching of the Word of God. And that's because the Word of God is pure because it's the truth. There is such a thing as truth. Sometimes people get the idea there is no such thing as truth. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And somebody else's truth is their truth. So there are all these truths out there. No. There's one truth as far as the Bible is concerned. What is truth? Was the question that was asked in John 18, verse 38. And the Bible echoes back the answer to that question in John 17, 17, when Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So the question is, what is truth? Jesus said, "The word of God is truth." This is the prayer he was praying to his Father and said, "Thy word is truth." So we know what the truth is. The truth, the gospel of our salvation. The word is truth. If a man's teaching is in agreement, or a woman's teaching, or children's teaching, whoever it is, if teaching is in agreement with the word of the Lord, then the teaching is truth. That's why we ought to examine our faith, whether it be of the Lord, whether it be the truth. That's why we need to examine what's taught. That's why you need to examine what I teach. You need to be sure it's the truth. I'm not going to purposely try to teach you something that's false, but I might think something is truth when it's really not. And therefore, you need to check. You need to examine what you hear. The word of the Lord is truth. You can always depend upon that. You might say to the preacher, "Well, preacher, I heard you say it. Where'd you get that? Where'd that come from?" And if you can turn to a passage of Scripture you haven't read yet and read it to you, then you see that's the truth. And I can accept that. But you don't want to accept it just because somebody says it. There's all kinds of teaching out there, folks, in the world. Even in the secular realm, there's a lot of teaching that we find out later on is not so. But certainly that's the case in the religious realm. As this group of people teach this, this group people teach something else, and both of them say we're going to go to heaven. You go your way and I'll go mine, and we'll both get to heaven at the very same time, is the idea sometimes of people. But the Bible echoes back the answer to what is truth: thy word is truth. And if a man's teaching or a person's teaching is in agreement with the word of the Lord, then he's teaching the truth. And that comes about because we live by faith, the faith that comes from the Lord. I'm talking about our personal faith. Our subjective faith has to be built on the objective faith that God gives, the belief, the body of belief. We walk by faith and we don't walk by sight. Walking by sight means we walk by the way we think. But if we walk by faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we walk by faith. Here's that body of faith. The Lord has given a revelation. And we say we're going to build upon that revelation. Isn't that what Paul was talking about in Romans 1 when he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith." That's God's faith. That's God's body of belief. Unto faith. As it's written, the righteous shall live by faith. So we build our faith upon the foundation of God's faith. That's what we do. And we recognize that's the importance of the word of the Lord. Our faith needs to rest solely upon the word of the Lord. It does. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, he talked about the fact that what he was saying did not come to me from the wisdom of men, but it came to me from the Lord. That's what he said. We have the mind of Christ. I mentioned that in the beginning. He's telling them they have the mind of Christ. But what I received, I didn't receive from man, but it came to me through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when you listen to Paul, you know that he's speaking what comes from the mind of God. I can listen to Paul. I can believe what Paul says, because what he's saying came from God Almighty, from the Lord. And that's why the word of the Lord is so important and has... It's wonderful to believe that the Lord did not leave us as a ship without a rudder. He's given us the rudder so that we'll know which way to go. And the rudder actually is the Word of God. It's the one propelling us to go certain places, because it tells us the way that we ought to live. That's the Word of God. Well, I'm sure all of you believe that, but it's good for us from time to time to revisit those thoughts and to make them secure in our own spiritual mind. So we'll always look to the Word of God. There's so much pressure today from the society, from the world, to look upon things that man thinks as being important things in the way we ought to live. And not everything man says is wrong, don't misunderstand me. But everything God says is always right. And you can always depend on that. The song we're about to sing asks the question, will Jesus find us watching when he comes to reward his servants, whether it's be noon or whether it's at night? Will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright? Well, he will if we understand the word of the Lord and put our faith in God through his word. We believe. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God, the Hebrew writer said. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that seek after him, or one translation says diligently seeks after him. You can't go to heaven without faith, folks, and that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And that's the way we walk. So, or can we say we're ready, brother, ready for the soul's ride home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting when the Lord shall come? Well, it will if we believe the word of God, and if we do that which is right. We're going to be faithful till we die, because Jesus said, I'll give you the crown of life. We're going to stay faithful. We're always waiting for the Lord. Difficult as it may be from time to time because of the pressures surrounding us, we're still going to do that. Will he find us watching? Will he find us waiting? If there's something in your life that you need to change so that you can always say, yes, I'll always be watching, I'll always be serving the Lord, you can change that by simply praying the Lord and asking him to forgive you the life you've lived. Change the way you live. Start living better. You can do that. You can do that privately. If you need the prayers of the local congregation to help you with that, we're always glad to do that. Always glad to do that. Once we obeyed the gospel, that's not the end of our spiritual journey. That's just the beginning of our spiritual journey. And we continue to learn more and more. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As newborn babes, we long for the spiritual milk that is without guile, that we may grow thereby unto salvation. So we grow unto salvation. The more we learn, we look into the Word of God, because the Word of God is pure. It's good. It's right. It's holy. We want to feast our mind upon the Word of God. Soak up everything it says and let it become a part of us. And then we can sing this song, and at the very end, the question is, waiting when the Lord shall come, and there's a question mark there, and we say, yes, I am. You can sing this song, yes, that doesn't apply to me because I am waiting, but it may apply to some. And if you've not been doing that, if you've not been watching like you should, then start doing it. And if I can help you do that, I'd love to, as together we stand in.